podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
We are going to have the happiest Christmas since Bing Crosby tap danced with Danny Bleepin' Kane. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. It's the Dawn Stenslin Show. My name is Jason Hammer. I am a radio host in Indianapolis. Happy to be filling in today as Dawn takes the day off today, at least from this program. And Christmas Eve. Christmas Eve in Philly. And you can tell everybody's in the holiday spirit. Even the carjackers in Kensington wearing Santa hats. True story. Okay, I totally have to give a hat tip to producer Sean on that one. Because again, I'm a Hoosier. I'm a hick from Indiana, as you guys would probably say. So I asked Sean, hey, what's like the crime hotspot you guys have? And he texted me back, well, you got options, but... And we decided on Kensington for the joke. So I hope that works for you guys. Now, homicides, I guess, are down pretty good in Philadelphia year over year. And when you look at the numbers the last couple of years, it's making progress, which is good. But I want to make sure everybody is aware of how some of these numbers come down, because I come from a family of law enforcement. Policing, law enforcement, been a big part of my family for a long time. And before you say, what does this guy from Indiana know? Well, here's what we do in Indiana, specifically Indianapolis. Per capita, the homicides are higher in Indianapolis than in Philadelphia. Per capita, homicides are higher in Indianapolis than Chicago. So let that sink in. So we're dealing with a lot of crap here. And much like Philly, we've got Democrat mayor, Democrat leadership. We have a very woke prosecutor. And the way they keep the numbers down, and you always hear these guys talking about this at the holidays, right? They want to make sure everybody feels safe going out on Christmas Eve, going out on New Year's Eve. The way they keep these numbers down, two words, death investigation. Death investigation. Some of these deaths, which are clearly homicides, like I've got a friend that works for the police department, told me this story, came across a severed torso, okay? Appeared to be bullets in the body. But because they technically didn't know how it happened, they called it a death investigation. Now, unless this guy completely did this to himself, cut himself in half, and shot himself multiple times, I'm willing to bet that was probably a homicide. But what you're going to see, leaders from like City Hall, leader from the mayor's office, they're very adamant about calling some of these things death investigations. That keeps the homicide numbers down. Now, I'm not saying that in Philly, you guys haven't been doing a good job. Technology helps. Proper leadership. You know, if you can get just the bare minimum from your elected officials, that helps. But death investigations is how you keep homicides down. Now, this takes us to Washington, D.C. The police chief in Washington, D.C. had to resign because they were busted doctoring and fudging the crime statistics to the point to where you couldn't even say it was a death investigation. And I want you to listen to this lunatic. If you guys want to hear an absolute lunatic on Christmas Eve, this is the outgoing police chief in Washington, D.C., the final speech before she had to step down. Ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas.
Never would I compromise my integrity. Never would I compromise 28 years in law enforcement for a few folk who couldn't stand to be held accountable. And if I had to do it all over again, I'd do it again. So I'm going to the Bible when I say this to my haters. F you.
Merry Christmas from the outgoing police chief in Washington, D.C. Again, you can fudge the numbers, and every police department and mayor's office does that, but you can't go over the top, right? And that's what they got busted doing in Washington, D.C. All right, a lot of stuff going on. We're going to have fun today, okay? It's Christmas Eve. I'm a fun guy. I like to drink. I like to gamble. I like to do the things that dudes like to do. But it's also my job and my responsibility to get you up to date with some of the biggest stories of the day. And I hate this story about the nursing home explosion. I've been reading about this, and two people dead, at least 20 injured in that what appears to be a gas leak in that explosion at the nursing home. And again, we're going to have fun today, but most of us tonight are going to be around family, or maybe it's tomorrow. You're going to be around family. You're going to be around friends. You got somewhere to go. You're going to see people you care about. There are a lot of people in the greater Philly area that are dealing with some pain, dealing with some grief. So think about those folks. I don't know if you're the praying type. I know some people get their panties in a twist when you say thoughts and prayers. I'm a thoughts and prayers guy. I am. If you don't like thoughts and prayers, do what you want. Do not care. I'm a thoughts and prayers guy. And I feel so bad for these families that have to deal with this, man. Not that there's ever a good time to lose somebody to a just freak accident like this, but right before Christmas, too. That's a shame, man. So pray for those people. Now, let's crank up some legal stuff.
Crime. Punishment. Judges. Legal stuff.
A rare L for Donald Trump from the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court decided to block the National Guard deployment to Chicago. The justices decided that the Trump administration's emergency request to overturn a ruling by a lower level district judge that had blocked the deployment of the troops to Chicago is valid. An appeals court had also refused to step in. So the Supreme Court, they have been doing what they do best, kick the can down the road, hoping the situation kind of works itself out in the lower courts. It took like 2 months for them to act on this. But when they did act, it went sideways for the Trump administration. The three justices that decided to play ball, Alito, Thomas, and Gorsuch, they were the public dissensions here. But that means Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett decided to go the other direction. Now, let me ask you guys this. If you're a conservative and you live in Philadelphia, what's a bigger disappointment? Amy Coney Barrett on the Supreme Court or the Ben Simmons era with the Sixers? Choose your fighter there. Which one was filled with more hype and then loaded with more disappointment? The Ben Simmons era in Philly or the Amy Coney Barrett era on the Supreme Court? Man, I think a case could be made for either one. And let's not get it sideways here. Kavanaugh hasn't been great. For all of the support and the backing that this dude got from a lot of the conservative lawmakers, even ones that don't have a great track record of standing up for values that most of the party believe in, they thought what was happening to Kavanaugh was bullcrap. And he hasn't been rock solid. Gorsuch has been pretty good. Alito, okay. Clarence Thomas, the GOAT. But Kavanaugh and Amy Coney Barrett have been a little soft. Amy Coney Barrett's been the worst. The only thing that keeps me from putting Kavanaugh in that category of total flameout, total bust, is that during his confirmation hearing, he talked about farting and beer a lot. And if you want to win over my cold, dark heart, go to Washington, D.C., look at the most powerful people in the country, and talk about beer and farting. And if you don't believe me, here's 30 seconds, a little montage of Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh talking about beer.
Did you consume alcohol during your high school years?
Yes, we drank beer. I liked beer. Still like beer. Sometimes probably had too many beers, and sometimes other people had too many beers. Drank beer. We liked beer. Beers with friends. I liked beer. I still like beer. Beer in high school. Drinking beer, which I gladly do, and which I fully embrace. I drank beer with my friends.
And sadly, that's been the highlight of his time with the Supreme Court. Another big headline, the DOJ releasing more and more Epstein files. We talked about this a little bit on Monday. And I've made this perfectly clear. Until you've got proof of somebody doing horrific things with kids, I don't care about your pictures. I don't care about your files. Find out who is doing bad stuff to kids or having relations with women against their will. That's it. I don't care who's having dinner. I don't care who's in the pool. I don't. Just don't. Find out who had sex with kids. It's not that complicated. And for all of these survivors and victims that are doing the media rounds, all right, that's fine. I'm sure you've been through hell. But can you take a break from appearing with lawmakers on Capitol Hill with cameras? Can you take a little break from going on CNN and Fox and tell us one important thing? Who did it? That's all we're looking for. Did you see Mick Jagger had dinner with Epstein? I don't care. Do you have a photo of Mick Jagger with a child on his crotch? Because if you do, that'd be great. Because the dinner picture doesn't do anything. Again, we mentioned this on Monday. I bet a lot of you probably have a picture with somebody that's gone to jail before. That doesn't mean you did the same things or into the same things that they are. When I was in Aruba, O.J. Simpson was still alive down there, looking for the real killers, by the way. Tons of chicks, hot college-age white chicks lining up to get a selfie with O.J. O.J. doesn't mean that they went back to their room and cut the throats off of people. That's not how it works. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Bill Clinton's coming off great in all these files being dumped. I mean, that dude, he's got his picture everywhere. But again, it shouldn't be that hard to connect the dots here. Who did bad stuff to kids? Now, I tried to get Bill Clinton to come on the program, did not get a response. But luckily, we live in the AI era. So this is what it would sound like if Bill Clinton were asked to comment on his picture popping up all over these Epstein files.
Democrats thought they could finally get Trump with the Epstein files. But instead, all they got was pictures of you, buck naked in the jacuzzi with some girls. Aren't you afraid of being arrested?
Well, to be honest, I'm more afraid of that crazy bitch waiting for me back home. I'm not going back. That bitch killed people. She even killed Jeffrey. Fuck that.
Exactly, Bill. 100% exactly right. It's Christmas Eve, so that's the heavy lifting that we're going to do today. I wanted to make sure you guys were well aware of what was going on in the world, the biggest headlines. I have now fulfilled my duty and my responsibilities as a radio host. Now let's have a little fun this afternoon, right? Let's crack open some holiday cheer. I know it's not quite 10:15 yet, but you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning. So get that eggnog out. Put so much rum in there that even Hillary Clinton looks good here in about 15 minutes. Crank up the radio and let's have a good time here. My name is Jason Hammer. I'm filling in for the amazing Dawn Stensland on the Dawn Stensland Show here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. And when we come back, Philly, we need to have a conversation about something Indianapolis took from you, and I want you to have it back. Okay? See if you can figure out what it is. We're coming right back. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
Merry Christmas Eve, Philadelphia. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, the Dawn Stensland Show. I'm Jason Hammer. Now, I do radio in Indianapolis, WIBC, Afternoon Drive, The Hammer and Nigel Show. It's my honor to be talking to you guys here in Philly. Now, there is a little thing that we need to have a conversation about, though, something that brings our cities together. Philly, you guys can come get Shane Steichen now. You guys can come get your guy. Because I know for a long time, Shane Steichen, play caller extraordinaire for your Eagles, had a lot of success, came over to coach the Indianapolis Colts. My Indianapolis Colts. And I get the quarterback situation's been a little wonky, to say the least, in Indy. It took a swing and had a colossal miss with Anthony Richardson. Okay, fine. You bring in Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones, and all of a sudden, get him away from the Giants, he looks pretty good. But then he goes down with an Achilles injury. And he's out for a while. So old man Philip Rivers comes in. And tell me you're not rooting for Philip Rivers. I don't care if you like the Colts or not. But he's 44 and he's fat. He's one of us. One of us. One of us. How do you not like a grandpa that's 44 out there? And he played really well, especially this past Monday night game. It wasn't his fault the Colts got their doors blown off. But Shane Steichen as a head coach has been a disaster. Great coordinator, bad head coach. I think he falls into that category. Like, some of the decisions need to be taken away from Shane Steichen. Didn't understand how overtime works earlier in the year, and the Colts kind of screwed themselves in a game against Kansas City. Still doesn't understand the concept of, you probably want to have the ball to start the second half. You want that extra possession in the second half. For whatever reason, Shane still takes the ball, and the Colts even scored first on Monday night. How'd that work out for you? So you guys can come get Shane. Clock management hasn't been ideal. Nobody leaves more timeouts on the field than Shane Steichen. Nobody has more bad fourth down decision-making than Shane Steichen. And when you've got a weapon like Jonathan Taylor in your backfield, I mean, you guys know what it's like. You guys have an amazing running back. You want to get him the ball. Get the ball to your best player. I'm no Vince Lombardi here, but putting the ball in the hands of your best player feels like a winning strategy. And even though Jonathan Taylor was getting all the work early in the year, he's been forgotten. So, again, you guys can come back and get Shane Steichen. This is the same speech that the United States had with Canada a number of years ago. You guys can come get Bieber now. You can come get Justin Bieber. We're done here. You can take him back. Take all the nonsense with you. If you want Shane Steichen back, be my guest. Would you like to have Chris Ballard, the general manager, as well? We'll throw him in for free. Powerball. How about this for a possible Christmas miracle tonight? $1.7 billion. $1.7 billion. So if you're taking that cash option, you're looking at around $781-ish million. And I've said this before, I'll say it again. If I can't win the money, and you can't win the money, I'm rooting for you. You know who I hope wins it? Donald Trump. Oh my God, could you imagine the reaction of Joy Reid, Joy Behar, and any other soulless succubus named Joy if the Orange Man won the Powerball? Oh, man. And he puts out some sort of snarky statement on social media. I didn't even need the money, but we got it. Kiss my ass. Oh, it'd be beautiful. Heads would spin around. How do you think Mika would do on Morning Joe? Assuming that the tears could come through all the Botox, I think she'd be pretty upset. So again, $1.7 billion tonight. You can't play. You can't win if you don't play. I'm bandwagon when it comes to this kind of stuff. I don't normally play the lottery, but screw it. I'm in it. Christmas miracle, right? Let's do the thing. And what you're going to see all over America, and it doesn't matter where you live, you're going to see your local news station send some young reporter out to a gas station, try to find either the biggest degenerate or biggest hillbilly they can find, and ask them about the lottery. We call it great moments in local TV reporters asking people about the lottery history.
Great moments in local TV reporters asking people about the lottery history.
I'm here with someone else who has gotten their ticket. Now, James, you bought your ticket. What are you going to do with that money if you win?
Well, I'm definitely going to get a new supercharged Mustang with dual exhaust and about 5 kilos of cocaine. And
oh,
I'll be good to go.
Okay, so you like cars. You like cars.
Great moments in local TV reporters asking people about the lottery history.
Yes, sir. They're all going to say that. It doesn't matter which local TV affiliate you are. You find a degenerate, you find a hillbilly, they're going to tell you they're going to spend their money either on booze, broads, hookers, or blow. One of the four. Every time, guaranteed. According to a new report, the washing machine tops a list of the most confusing appliances to operate. The washing machine got the most votes as the most confusing appliance around the house. I guess it's all the buttons and options depending on what type of machine you got. Microwave came in second, followed by the dishwasher, and then oven and freezer. Now let's talk about the freezer, because the freezer comes in at number five. What's complicated and confusing about the freezer? You open the door. You close the door. That's how the freezer works. Who's confused by how to operate the freezer? Is everything plugged in? Did you open the door? Did you close the door? If that's too over the top, if that's too sophisticated for somebody, do us a favor and walk into oncoming traffic. If you can't figure out the intricacies of the freezer, I don't know what to tell you. The dryer, however, came in at number six, followed by the refrigerator and coffee maker. So again, people thought the freezer was more confusing to operate than the coffee maker. That's bizarre to me. But this brings me to great moments in appliances history. That's right. There is such a thing. There is some dude, just a total hill jack, man. He's kind of gone viral for these videos where he gets his washing machine just loaded up, loaded to the gills, and plays music along with it. Here's what I'm talking about. This is some hillbilly loading up his washing machine and doing what I think is just a kick-ass version of the theme song of Smokey and the Bandit, Eastbound and Down. Take a listen.
Come on!
Come on! Dude, that is strong. That is real strong right there. Now, not to be outdone, great moments in musical appliance history. There was a mom who was opening up her oven door and the squeak made it sound like Usher's Yeah. Take a listen. It's the squeak. Let's go! Come on! I'm in it, man. I'm here for that. Let's go, baby. Great moments in musical appliance history. This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
Rolling, baby. Christmas Eve, the Dawn Stensland Show, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Jason Hammer, filling in for Dawn, and I am a 2A supporter. I am a man that owns firearms. My kids, they're of legal age now. I've got a 21-year-old. I've got an 18-year-old. They have been trained on the proper way to handle a firearm. And let's take a little review here. Let's take a look back at 2025 in terms of what it meant for those who want to carry their firearm, those who do things the right way, those who legally want to exercise their constitutional rights. And joining me now, a guy who was the best 2A attorney in all of America, used to be one of the regulars on NRA TV when that was still around. He's a firearms instructor. He's a radio host. Guy Relford, known as the Gun Guy, joins me. Guy, Merry Christmas, my friend. How the hell are you?
I'm great, man. A Merry Christmas to you. Looking forward to it. It's great to join you here on your show.
So there was a new study that came out, and I want to get to the success stories of 2025 and what's on the horizon for gun owners in 2026. But I want to start with this study, and I've heard you talking about this, that just came out that showed armed citizens exercising their constitutional rights, better shots, and faster to respond during a mass shooting. Been a lot of talks about mass shootings lately. Guy, walk me through this report.
Yeah, and there's actually a couple of sort of related studies that were both done by the Crime Prevention Research Center. And this is Dr. John R. Lott's organization. You may know him from the book, More Guns, Less Crime. But he did a couple of studies really looking at this issue of whether or not armed citizens really have a positive effect or a negative effect on carrying guns in public. And what we hear from the anti-gun crowd, the gun control crowd all the time, is, well, this idea of a good guy with a gun stopping a bad guy with a gun, that's really a fiction. That never happens. This is just a bunch of, you know, role-playing by people with macho complexes that, you know, love to carry guns. And Dr. John R. Lott took a look at that, and one study showed that in places where private citizens are allowed to carry guns, they actually stopped the majority of mass shootings that were interrupted over the last, I believe it was 8 years. And in other words, they actually stopped more mass shootings than police did, and did so faster, resulting in fewer casualties. And a case of mine, and I represented Elijah Dickin, who's a gentleman in Greenwood, Indiana, who stopped a mass shooting in Greenwood Park Mall. He was one of those. From the time the bad guy walked into the food court of a large mall south of Indianapolis and started shooting people with the intent of killing dozens and dozens and dozens of people, and had the capacity to do so, had a rifle with well over 100 rounds of ammunition on his person. And Eli Dickin, a person I represented through that investigation, I actually stopped that shooting in 15 seconds. And three people lost their lives, which is horrible and a tragedy, and we never want to lose sight of that. But he saved dozens and dozens and dozens. And that's just one example. So private citizens do stop mass shootings and do so even more frequently than police do in places where they're allowed to carry guns. And even in places where they're not, overall, generally, in so-called gun-free zones, and in Greenwood, that mall was actually a place where it was posted, no guns allowed. But in Indiana, where that occurred, it's not against the law to carry where a business puts up a no-gun sign. And even in all situations, irrespective of whether guns are allowed there or not, Still, 40% of mass shootings that were stopped by someone were stopped by a private citizen carrying a gun. And then secondly, and this is the more recent study, it just came out. And one of the arguments we hear all the time against private citizens carrying, either with a license to carry or under constitutional carry or permitless carry, which 29 states now have, which say you don't need a license or a permit to carry a handgun if you're legally able to possess a firearm. But the other argument we hear all the time is, oh, a bunch of these untrained yahoos are going to shoot each other and shoot innocent bystanders, and it's going to be blood in the streets because these people, you know, are not as trained and qualified to possess firearms or use firearms as police or the military. Well, it turns out, according to a more recent study, also by Dr. Lott, that comparing innocent bystanders shot by private citizens when there's a shooting in public, comparing that to police, and this is not intended to denigrate police officers in any way, it's just a point of reference, that police are actually 5.7 times more likely to shoot an innocent bystander in a public shooting than a private citizen, based on statistics, again, going back several years. So, one, good guys with guns do stop mass shootings and do so very frequently, much more frequently than the press would let you believe. And secondly, there's much less collateral damage when private citizens do so. So those are both very significant and rebut a lot of the anti-gun arguments that we hear out there.
To a attorney, Guy Relford, joining us here on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Guy, you just rattled off a couple different reports here, and I feel like these are worth sharing. These are worth getting out to the public, because I think it would maybe help stop some of the hysteria and panic. But for whatever reason, I don't feel like the media has any interest, at least at a national level, of covering these types of stories.
No, they definitely don't. It doesn't fit the narrative. You know, guns are bad, right? That's the narrative. We need more gun control. We need fewer guns in public. That's the narrative. That's what the mass media, legacy media has bought into. Anything inconsistent with that, they just ignore. Or bury completely. And that's why there's been very little coverage of these kinds of findings. And even the FBI has grossly underreported, for instance, mass shootings that are interrupted by armed private citizens. And that's why I'm glad we have an organization out there like the Crime Prevention Research Center that, you know, pulls the cover off a lot of what the media would have hidden.
Guy, as we get closer and closer to a brand new year, we're going to take a look back, and then we're going to take a look ahead. So let's start with taking a look back here. 2A success stories of 2025. What was good news for those who are citizens that do things the right way when it comes to their firearms?
You know, I think the biggest thing is that the Trump administration issued some executive orders that rescinded a lot of what was going on under Biden. And for instance, the Biden administration had announced through ATF that they had a new quote-unquote zero tolerance policy for gun stores, what we call FFLs, or federal firearms licensees. And what this was really, in my mind, a very underhanded way of trying to put as many gun stores out of business as possible. They were looking at any kind of minor bookkeeping clerical type error and saying, oh, there you go, you didn't comply with the regulations, we're going to yank your firearms license. And in my mind, it was really sort of a backdoor attack on the Second Amendment, simply trying to put a lot of people who are trying to do things the right way, exactly to your point, and try to tag them off base at any opportunity and put them out of business. And that's been rescinded. In addition, there were regulations under Biden on whether or not you needed a firearms license. They were trying to put private citizens in jail because they were simply liquidating a private collection they may have inherited from grandpa or whatnot, and were trying to sell that, which for years and years and years has been totally legal. And under the Biden administration, they issued a bunch of regulations saying, oh, no, we'll put you in jail if you are sell too many guns. And by the way, we won't tell you how many is too many. We're just going to evaluate that on a case-by-case basis and try to put people in jail for 5 years, which is the crime of being engaged in the business, quote-unquote, of selling firearms without a license. So those kinds of executive orders under Biden have been reversed. And as part of that, the Trump administration even set up to a advocacy office within the White House, within the executive branch, looking at ways that the administration can promote and protect Second Amendment rights, and we're going to see dividends from that. You know, another major event is that through the signing of the so-called Great Big Beautiful Bill, the $200 tax on registering suppressors, what a lot of people know as silencers, or short-barreled rifles, short-barreled shotguns. These are regulated by the National Firearms Act of 1934, and suppressors in particular have gotten really, really popular. They're with hunters, for sport shooters, for competitors. You know, you can protect your hearing that way. It makes you a better neighbor. Hunters love hunting with suppressors because they're not going to scare away game in the area as nearly as much as with an unsuppressed firearm. They're not going to interrupt the hunting on adjacent land with other hunters. So it's become very popular. Well, the NFA that's been around, National Firearms Act has been around since 1934, and there's a $200 tax anytime you want to buy one of these things, plus there's a registration requirement. And the Great Big Beautiful Bill did away with that $200 tax, and that actually goes into effect January 1, so just right around the corner, and a lot of people are looking forward to that. I think you're going to see suppressor sales in particular really go through the roof. I think wait times to get those things registered with the ATF become much more lengthy, unfortunately, but people saving $200, I think that's a major event, and people are going to, I think, take advantage of that. We've also had the Supreme Court accept another Second Amendment case. You know, historically, they've taken very, very few. We don't have a ruling yet, but we're going to have a ruling on a couple of cases. One is the constitutionality of the law that prohibits even occasional users of marijuana from possessing a firearm, the so-called users or people that are users of or addicted to illegal drugs.
Guy, is that the biggest thing that we're going to be seeing here from the court system, or like the biggest, I guess, headline for 2026, the combination of legal marijuana and firearms?
Yeah, it's going to be marijuana and firearms in 2026, and then it's going to be Hawaii's law that forbids firearms anywhere in public unless the owner of property has given specific permission to possess a gun there. That's a law in Hawaii. That case has been accepted by the Supreme Court. So those two are the big events we're going to see in 2026.
Guy, if somebody wants to reach out to you, if they've got a 2A question, maybe they need the best damn 2A attorney in America, how can they find you?
Really, Twitter, it's easy to find. I'm at Guy Relford, Twitter or X, or the website is just relfordlaw.com, RELFORDlaw.com.
Guy, you're a beautiful bride, your family. Have a great Christmas, and we'll talk to you soon, man.
Hey, same to you and yours, man. Merry Christmas. Thanks so much.
Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand.
The Dawn Stensland Show. It's Dawn's world. I'm just trying to live in it. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. I'm Jason Hammer. I was just informed the YouTube stream, rocking and rolling. So follow WPHT's official YouTube stream. Find the channel on YouTube and hammer that like button, man. Hammer that like button. Now, I don't work for this radio station. I work at another one. I'm just the fill-in dork today. But all stations are the same when it comes to this. I'm willing to bet, and producer Sean, back me up here. You guys probably have some digital department workers in the back. They're probably 20-something year old. They don't own anything. They've accomplished nothing, but yet they're always telling you how to do your job. So what I've learned, at least from my experience, is these are the people telling you, you've got to hammer the like button. You're responsible for getting all the likes on the YouTube feed. So if you're listening right now and you're able to, go to the WPHT YouTube stream, okay? Dawn Stensland Show, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. Hit the like button because that helps shut up a 20-year-old. If you have worked with a 20-year-old in your office, 20-ish, 25, folks that don't have a pot to pee in but think they own everything, if you want to give them a virtual middle finger, hit the like button. Do it for my guy, Sean. Do it for everybody at the station. Nothing shuts up a 20-year-old like folks coming together and doing their job. I'm just trying to help out here. All digital departments are the same. 23, 24-year-olds, they don't know their anus from a hole in the ground. And if you want to give a virtual middle finger, if you've ever worked with one of these types, do us a favor, give us a thumbs up, give us a like, leave a comment on the YouTube stream of WPHT. It is the night before Christmas. Hopefully everybody's got the shopping done. I'm not going to lie. Still got a few gift cards to buy on my way home today. Not that there's anything wrong with that. That's an easy purchase. It's not like, what's that Schwarzenegger movie, Jingle All the Way, where he's trying to go out and find the Turbo Man? Yeah, I'm not in that situation. Which, by the way, how does the wife and the kid not know that Arnold freaking Schwarzenegger is the Turbo Man at the end of the movie? I mean, it's not like that accent is something you hear all the time. But enjoy your Christmas, whatever it is you're doing. If it's Hanukkah, light that damn menorah better than anybody. If it's Festivus, air out those grievances. Whatever you're doing, do it well. Have fun tonight. Have some beverages. Enjoy the company. And if I may, I want to set the mood here just a little bit. I put together a little poem. I hope this brings families together. It's a little thing I call, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas at the DNC. Turn your radio up. Let's get into the spirit here. 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the DNC, Governor Pritzker of Illinois was stress eating. He's on plate number 33.
Get in my belly!
The gifts are all wrapped with ribbons and bows. Ilhan Omar and her brother are under the mistletoe.
Oh!
More family and friends have arrived. They're all gathered in the room. Nancy Pelosi just got here. She flew in on her broom.
Oh, that's not very nice. Come on.
Out on the lawn, we heard such a clatter. False alarm! Wrong fat guy! It was just Jerry Nadler. But Santa would arrive with his white beard by his mouth. He brought Kamala a one-way ticket to the border so she could finally get her ass down south.
Good Lord.
AOC got red lipstick. Bernie, a government check. Adam Schiff got 13 scarves to cover up that big pencil neck.
Pencil neck, Adam Schiff.
Santa brought new egos, as the polling shows they've been bruised. He brought the Clintons new body bags, because all of theirs have already been used.
Ooh-hee.
Santa and a guest flew off, and you could hear the sleigh bells ring. They said, Merry Christmas to all, and to all...
You know the thing.
You know the thing. Christmas Eve in Philadelphia. Thank you so much for having me. So is anybody excited for the Super Bowl halftime? That was like a big story a couple of months ago. Bad Bunny was announced. Now, I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know everything there is to know about Bad Bunny. Truth be told, I don't know much. But then I found out that he's going to be performing pretty much all in Spanish. And that's kind of where you lost me. Like, you can book international acts. Shakira did halftime of the Super Bowl. She's got songs in Spanish, but she performed in English. Well, now Bad Bunny's stylist has released a statement saying that the singer will, quote, not play it safe at the Super Bowl. Ooh. So I guess Bad Bunny's going to wear a dress or something. He's going to go out there, do halftime of the Super Bowl wearing a dress to honor the Puerto Rican queer icons and generations of drag and cultural rebellion. This is a story from Variety. Quote, a stylist involved in Bad Bunny's fittings reveals he loves controversy. He loves to push the envelope. He's 100% going to wear a dress. So I guess you get to look forward to that. I don't know. I mean, if your team is in the Super Bowl, do you even care? If the Eagles are in the Super Bowl, it could be a couple fat guys with banjos and kazoos out there. You're not going to care, right? You just want to win. But for the rest of us, for like Colts fans like myself, you're kind of looking for a little entertainment. I don't know if I'm going to get that with Bad Bunny. And is Turning Point USA still doing their thing? Is that still a thing? Because for a long time, people were falling for these fake AI-generated posts that said, Adam Sandler, he's doing the All-American Halftime Show. None of that crap's true. And there are people in our industry, like respected broadcasters, that fell for that crap. Totally fell for it. Come on now, you got to be better than that. But I haven't heard anything about it. I have no idea. I like Turning Point USA. I support what they're trying to do. I hope they succeed without Charlie. But I'm going to need some more information here. Because on one hand, I got Bad Bunny out here in a dress paying tribute to all the drag queens. If you're going to promise me some sort of alternate halftime show, I'll watch it. I will. But you got to tell me who's involved. It can't just be Uncle Billy wearing overalls, playing Rocky Top on a banjo. Although, that probably would be a little bit better than anything Bad Bunny's planning to do. All right, going to take a little break here. Do not go anywhere. We are having fun today. It's Christmas Eve. This is the Dawn Stensland Show. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand. On Demand.
Hey there, it's Jill Schlesinger. I'm launching a new show. It's called Money Moves, and your money is going to move. We're going to help you make better financial decisions. We're going to call out the BS you're finding all over social media. We're going to give you actionable guidance to make your financial life clearer, less stressful. We're going to answer your financial questions and take the mystery out of your financial life. Follow and listen to Money Moves with Jill Schlesinger wherever you get your podcasts.